It's all about the pendants, baby.
Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again?
To start, press any key. Where's the any key?
Excuse me. I believe you have my stapler.
Welcome to We Are Technologies User Friendly with host Bill Sickens, technology architect.
Welcome to User Friendly. I am your host, Bill Sickens. Welcome back. We've got an exciting week for you this week. We are going to be covering live Steve Wozniak's Silicon Valley Comic Con. And there's a lot of stuff that has come out of that and a lot of different things. And for us, being it was our first time at that particular show, there was a lot more than what you would expect at the normal Comic-Con. So we're going to go through it and talk about what we saw and impressions that came from that. One user-friendly on Twitter, one user-friendly on Facebook. There's other user-friendlies out there, but we're number one. So remember, on social media, follow us at One User Friendly on Facebook and Twitter, or check out our new website at userfriendlyshow.com. All right, so everybody here, let me introduce, first of all, everybody that's sitting with me at the table. We have Jeremy and Gretchen, as we do every week. My co-host Gretchen, say hi.
Hello, hello.
And Jeremy will have the microphone in a little bit. And then we also have Warky and Preston.
Hello there.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us here.
It is an absolute pleasure. So I know you guys got to see part of the Comic-Con on the preview night. What were your initial thoughts?
It was incredible. It was actually incredible. It was wonderful to go to it and see it. And there were so many people dressed up and the amount of technology there and just people from, I mean, we saw people from NASA and just, that was so cool for me. What a great experience it is to bring that to this area.
Yeah, I really liked seeing the NASA stuff. That was cool.
Now, Warky, I know you've been to many Comic-Cons over the years and, you're a professional voice actor and do a lot of panels and that type of thing. And, everybody would consider, certainly. But the question that I would have for you, how did the Silicon Valley Comic-Con differ from some of the other events that you've been to?
At other Comic-Cons, it's very different. This was a smaller con as opposed to, say, such as San Diego or Salt Lake City Comic-Con or even Phoenix Comic-Con. But It was different in the fact that there was so much science and so much technology there. It wasn't just about the comics. There was a lot of comics. That was great. But very little to having to do with any kind of anime or whatnot for the dubbing of shows and stuff like that for animation. But it had so much science and technology that was just so different. I loved it. It was such a different feel to this con, and that makes it very unique.
Now, it was actually really cool to see it kind of everything blended together in a way that that made a lot of sense. And it wasn't like one was just added to the other. It was very much done as part of the show, I thought.
Yes, yes. I agree.
Well, even if you look at some of the artwork on the t-shirts, it's very obvious that they are trying to blend a relationship between science and science fiction, you know.
Now, what I thought was very interesting, too, we'll talk about this in more depth a little later in the show, but NASA's exhibit showed a lot of things where they're trying to bring actual modern current technology, real world technology would be the better word for that, and blending it with how science fiction developed. And we're seeing one of those, one display we'll go into is a wireless communications thing that's actually, they're saying will eventually replace fiber optics, which is kind of cool. And they had a demo on that set up to see how that worked. And there were a number of other things like that that were in there that were really just interesting to see. So now, of course, the technology aspect, which is, again, what I would consider a little more unusual, and you did have your normal Comic-Con cosplay and those type of things. And Gretchen, what did you think of what you saw?
I saw some really nice stuff. The one thing I noticed is there wasn't as many cosplayers as I normally see at some of the other places. But what I did see was pretty darn good.
Oh, I, for the first time at a con that I've been to, actually saw another Wookiee.
Yeah, I know.
Have competition. This we'll have to see how that's going to happen. But
dear.
And actually, he did a pretty nice job, so I have to say so. But no, the costumes I saw were very impressive. The cosplays, and
there was one guy who had. I'm assuming it was a guy, because you couldn't see their face, and red armor with giant white wings. I don't know what they were cosplaying, but it was cool.
Yeah, remember that. We'll find a picture of that, put it up on the website. All right, after the break, we are going to come back with some more in-depth conversation about everything that we saw at the con. and talk about the technology aspects of it that were, again, a little bit unusual, something that we don't normally see, but you do see here. And in Silicon Valley, it makes a lot of sense that there would be a blend of both. So we'll be back. Welcome back to User Friendly, userfriendlyshow.com, our new website for this season. It's a different domain name. Check us out. There's an option on there to be able to submit your story ideas, ask your questions, and get on the show. So this week, we are live at Steve Wozniak's Silicon Valley Comic Con. And Steve Wozniak, who is that, you ask?
Who is Steve Wozniak?
Well, Steve Wozniak, of course, is the co-founder of Apple Computer alongside Steve Jobs. Two Steves. I bet that was confusing in the day, and
that's probably the reason why they called him Woz.
The Woz, yes, absolutely. And it was interesting because when we were there for the preview night, he was actually probably about 20 feet away from where we were standing, doing whatever he was doing, and I turn around, and there he is, and he's on a Segway. And they come scooting by, and you're thinking, you know, that individual really is responsible for the fact that we all have personal computers. Now, here's someone that started out technology in a garage in Silicon Valley many years ago, putting together what became the Apple, the original Apple computer, and came up with a device that's now a version of it is pretty much in everybody's home. So it was really interesting to see someone like that just scooting by.
It just proves that if you really believe in something and work hard at it, even if you have to do it in the garage or at a kitchen table, just keep trying.
Absolutely. I know the background with Apple's been interesting, too, because there's been a lot of different aspects of his involvement, non-involvement in the company, him and Steve Jobs. They came out with a device that was what we would be like a smartphone now, a very early version of it, more like a Palm Pilot kind of thing that the founders felt wasn't going to go anywhere, and it didn't. But the company went a different direction and for a year was focused on this device and almost went out of business because of it. And then they came back and started reforming things and went back focusing on things like what now is Macintosh and iPods, which, of course, took the world by storm, and the iPhone, which everyone has. Whether you're on Android or iPhone, the basic idea of a smartphone came from that and was released in 2007. So we're actually in our 10th year anniversary of smartphones, too, this year.
Wow, cool.
So an interesting little note. So anyway, so the technology components of the Comic-Con that were different that we were talking about a little bit, I'm going to start with the stuff that NASA had set up. And Jeremy, if we can get you a mic here real quick, just grab one.
Yep.
Because you were the one that kind of went through this. So why don't you talk a little bit about what you saw?
Okay. Downstairs on the main floor of the Comic-Con, they had a setup for families. So you had the little – there was a building block area with giant foam blocks. There was a display of 3D printers. There was a display of technology going back to 8mm film and then, you know, cameras and then DSLRs and then Apple computers and then, you know, it went from everything. And you're just looking at it going, wow, I remember having that stuff. And now it's obsolete. It was just kind of amazing.
Well, not only was it obsolete, it's in a museum-type display.
Yeah, that was the other part.
I know they had an Atari computer, which was where I started, old 8-bit Atari 130XE or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And it was still in its original box, and I'm thinking, I have wasted a lot of my childhood with that.
No, I don't know if it was a waste, but, you know, it's one of those things. And NASA had a display downstairs for parents and children to build airplanes. They had little layouts where you'd fold it on this line and fold it on that line, and then you'd take it to a launch station and to see if it would get down through the course, because they had a course set up with hula hoops and guidelines to see if it could go over the thing and through the hoop and down the thing, and they had a leaderboard as to whose plane went the furthest, and that was pretty cool for little kids.
Now that it sounds absolutely amazing. Did the children seem to be enjoying the area?
Oh yeah, they were having a lot of fun.
And then I know there was an adult NASA upstairs area, too.
Okay, that
sound bad. That's not what I meant at all. But
no.
But an area for grown-ups. And talk a little bit about the displays you saw up there.
Okay, well, they had a digital globe. It was actually pretty cool because it actually was switchable on the display panel from current temperatures to forecasted temperatures to heat models of like the Earth. And then if you could switch it to other planets to show you what the weather patterns were on these other planets. And, you know, this is a pretty big globe, and it wasn't projected. It was coming from the inside of the globe. So, I mean, I don't know how well you can do little tiny projectors on there, but I mean, it was a pretty cool digital display.
That sounds amazing, and I hear a rumor that's actually going to become a background for the website. So check it out. We'll have that posted up in the next couple of days. But it was actually very interesting to see. And it was the interaction was amazing to me, because not only did you have this giant globe that was just fun to look at, but you had the ability to actually get on and play with it and do stuff with it and be able to interact. And people seemed to really enjoy that.
Oh, everything there was interactive. It was really cool. And there was someone there at every station with every display willing to talk to you about stuff and tell you about absolutely everything. It was a really neat display. So, I mean, more than one display, but the whole area was just completely staffed, and it was really entertaining and knowledgeable. It was really cool.
So tell me about the technology they have that's going to replace fiber optics.
Oh, the laser display? That was – okay. They had it set up so that one display, the one laptop, was 5 feet from the other laptop. And the laptop on the left had a satellite that was the laser satellite. And it communicated to the Earth satellite or the Earth station from in a little tube. And there was nothing in the tube. So it was pretty cool, because you type the thing on one side and hit send, and it shows up on the other side, but they're not connected in any way. There's not satellites in between. It was a laser.
Okay.
So it was like laser communication. It was like direct line of sight. It was pretty cool, because it was very fast.
Yeah, I know. You know, a couple of weeks ago on the on this KXL show, we were talking about this 5G technology that's supposed to be a wireless replacement for the internet. Now, is this that, or is this something different?
This is something totally different.
So this would be for communicating with space.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. Space station to ground, or?
Could be. Or ship to ship.
Okay, that would make sense.
That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, think about, they've got a space station up there that they've been working on for years and improving. So you'd want really good communication with those people.
And you obviously can't run a wire.
And you can't.
That could be problematic.
Yeah, can you intercept a laser communication and know what it is?
Well, that's a good question to all of our hackers out there. Write in and let us know. Would a wireless form of communication, this is actually a good question, that uses a laser satellite to ground station technology be hackable? Now, I know the answer is anything's hackable to some extent, but really, is that more secure than, say, like a 4G wireless connection or something else that's out there? I'd be curious to know. So let us know and send in your stuff. All right, so wireless communication and the globe with varying weather patterns. What else did they have?
There was a missile station. They talked about the different types of missiles that they had used in the past and they were continuing to use. And there was a rocketry club there talking about rockets. They had communications. They had weather. They had I'm starting to run out of things. They had a lot of stuff. That was the problem.
You also checked out some laser cut things, or were they 3D printed?
That was the San Jose Library. That was the other surprising part, was the San Jose Library had a 3D printer and a 3D laser cutter and a small-scale CNC machine.
You know, it's good. When we get back from the break, we're actually going to talk about all of that in a lot more detail. And some of the other things that was set up, too, is VR technology was on display with Facebook's demo. They had this, I guess you'd call it a trailer. It's nicer than my apartment. But anyway, this trailer set up where you could go in and actually try out different things and see what they're doing in the realm of VR. But seeing what the library had was absolutely amazing. So
yeah, I was definitely impressed.
We'll get into that in some more detail. So, all right, again, social media, let us know what you think. Send your questions. One User Friendly on Facebook, One User Friendly on Twitter, userfriendlyshow.com online. And if you go to the website, you can find a place to send in your story ideas, ask your questions. And we strongly encourage that. Become part of the show. As we're back into our now fourth season here, which is absolutely amazing, I want to get the feedback from everybody, because this has been something that drives the topics of what we actually talk about on the air and on the podcast. So, and that's the other thing, too. This season we have a podcast, and our first season podcasts are now available for download on the website as well. So I will apologize about that now, but go ahead and get online and see where this all began. And we will be back after the break. UserFriendlyShow.com. Welcome back. This is User Friendly. One User Friendly on Twitter, one User Friendly on Facebook, userfriendlyshow.com online. Give us your feedback. Ask us your questions. Working Preston, I know you had an opportunity to actually meet with some of the celebrities that were at the Comic-Con. We're talking about the Silicon Valley Comic-Con, of course, today. Let us know or tell us about who you met and how that went.
Met a lot of people. They were really just out there, like out there for the fans. I mean, a lot of times at Comic-Cons, there's a lot of security just stopping anybody from even interacting with them. And so it was very refreshing to see that we could go up to them and say hello and not have to just buy an autograph or something like that.
Oh, that's a lot. So there was actual interaction. That's very unusual, actually.
Yeah, that's why I thought, wow, that's really unique. You know,
no, that's really cool. So who did you get to meet?
Most of the people I like to stalk. there was a lot of really incredible people there. The first person actually that we met there was Gigi Edgley, which is very hard to say if fast. Gigi Edgley. Try and say it three times fast. Yeah, say it three times fast. You got it. She was really, really amazing. Very, very open. Very, very sweet.
Yes, she was. It was amazing to be able to meet her. And some of the other guests there. The guest list was actually quite long, and they had them set up at tables right in the middle of the exhibition hall. So you would just be walking down the hallway looking at things, and there were a bunch of – you're just passing celebrities along the way. It was pretty neat. There were lines in order to meet them, of course, because they're very popular. Turns out celebrities are popular.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, imagine that.
Must be a new fan. It's a fad. It'll never last.
Modern tech, what can you say?
You know, it was really cool, actually. As we walked down, you'd see a celebrity, and you're just like, oh, my gosh. You know, you're holding yourself back, making sure you don't freak out because you don't want them to realize who you are. Right. And but there were so many cool people there. They had the star, The Flash. They had Grant Gustin there. Really incredible. They had most of the Next Generation cast. I know some of them couldn't make it, but that was really cool just seeing Star Trek people for me because I love Star Trek.
And this year's the 30th anniversary of Next Generation.
Yes.
So I know they were doing a little bit of a get-together for that.
Which was really cool. I'm always just a huge fan of that, so I was really happy to see them there. They also had... oh my gosh, they had the hot guy from Mythbusters. They had Tori there. Oh my gosh, and his new project with White Rabbit. So I'm really excited about everything that's going on with that. He's got a lot of cool things on the horizon. So
now the White Rabbit project, I've seen a little bit of that, I believe, on Netflix is where you can find it. And it's an interesting show. They're finishing the Mythbusters. I think they might actually be out of production on that now. So White Rabbit was another show that they've come in and they're doing some more stuff and some more experiments and has a similar idea, but it's presented in a different way a little bit. And that's all I'm going to say, not to to give it all away here, but check it out on Netflix. It was really kind of neat to see the people in person.
It really was. And it was also cool because there were people that came that weren't actually on the guest list, at least not in the booklet
right.
that we saw. Nichelle Nichols was there from the original series of Star Trek. And William Shatner was there for a short, brief time.
Well, there is that.
And then Adam Savage was there, of course, also with Mythbusters, and which everyone knows him from. And also Gina Torres from Zoe from Firefly. So I mean, that was really cool. You know, just saying, Zoe fan.
No, we wouldn't have figured that out.
Not a chance.
No, it was very interesting because you had celebrities across the board. I know Buzz Aldrin made an appearance, and in fact, in a
he looks good for his age.
Well, like, very man. Much so, very much so. So, no, but he was out there and doing a number of different things, and he is somebody that seems to be very much into modern technology. One of the opportunities we had to go to on Friday night after the con itself closed was a private party that Steve Wozniak was presenting. So anyway, we got to experience this really interesting virtual reality, augmented reality, whatever you want to call it, situation where we were up against this wall and they had a 3D capability of picking up the pictures. And basically what you did is when you were given the cue, you pointed to each other in the room. The only difference is when you watched it on the actual video, you were standing there with Buzz Aldrin doing the same thing. And the way that they had it set up was very, very interesting. It's a proprietary technology that actually allows them to take a 3D scan. They called it holographic. I'm not sure how close it actually is to a hologram in the classical sense. But it's the same idea for pickup where they could take your image and then use that inside of another piece of video. But it's not flat. It is actually 3D, and it actually does look quite real. And if I was to look at a downside of it, the only thing I could say is that the lighting was different between Buzz and us. It looked like he was standing out of the light, and we were in the light in the background. But I think that had something to do with just the way the room was set up and the things that they were doing. In an actual studio, I don't think you'd be able to tell the difference. And it does make it very interesting, you know, in the media and everything, talking about fake news and all this kind of stuff. And when it does get to a point that you're actually able to create something that the person that you're talking with or talking about was not in the room or really even ever involved, that does become interesting. It makes it much harder to tell apart.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Think about how Tarkin, Peter Cushing, and Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia were added into Rogue One. You could tell that wasn't the original person, but it was so very close.
Yeah, I couldn't tell.
Yeah, you can't tell the difference. And if you know, you might be able to pick up on it. And this is new tech. I mean, 5-10 years down the road, you won't be able to tell. That's where this is going.
Yeah, I mean, it has interesting implications for, I think, courtroom cases where photographs have traditionally been considered solid evidence, but at this point, you're going to need an expert witness just to tell whether a photograph is real or not.
Yeah, the ability to stitch all that together, and you can't tell. And that's really, really true. Another profession there. I know one of the other places you're seeing this kind of technology was in the French elections, which was a little bit of an unusual use of it, where one of the candidates was actually appearing in 10 different places at the same time as a hologram. And people didn't know until it came up on the news, well, how was he in this spot and that spot that are hours apart at the same time?
That is something straight out of science fiction.
You don't know it, listeners, but Bill is a hologram.
You're not supposed to tell them about it,
though. Oh, sorry.
That's a secret.
My bad.
But now that you know, no, no, it is going to be very interesting to see, though, where these things end up. One of the other things that we saw at the private party, too, that's very much worth mentioning is Pepper. And Pepper is an AI robot, basically. I think that would be the best way to do it. It has got some basic interaction skills. You put your hands up, she puts her hands up, that type of a thing. But it was actually kind of fun to see how they had this set up. There were three different units that were in the party at the same time.
Yeah, and I think we've got some footage that we'll be able to share at some point.
I think we got on the Twitter. I remember her taking pictures and some things like that, and I was still kind of amazed with just how well that worked. But it feels like you're interacting with a living thing in many ways, and the eyes light up, and it's clearly a robot, an android, whatever you want to call it, but it has definitely got a personality to it, and it was just interesting to see and have that little experiment where it got shared out to Twitter. So as Gretchen says, we'll get it up on the website.
This is how Terminator started. Do you think there's concern for that? Like, are we at that point or coming up to that point now where AI is becoming so real that we may worry about, like, robots and stuff?
I know that there have been some very much mainstream scientists, Stephen Hawking, Dr. Hawking being one of them, that have expressed concerns about AI.
Wasn't there even Elon Musk who was concerned about
that? Yeah, Elon Musk has also expressed some concerns. And I think it's important that as these things are developed, and they are being developed, they are out there, and getting to a point, science calls it a singularity, where they're actually able to think and create on their own. And there is debate how far along we are on that scale. But the bottom line of it is we do need to be careful that what we put together is something that is positive and happy and is able to reflect the positive sides of humanity. Now, I, for one, renamed my Wi-Fi to Skynet just to be able to be compatible in case something ever does happen.
That's smart. Preemptive.
You know, I for one welcome our AI overlords. And anyway,
I'll be back.
But it is interesting to see some of these articles and white papers that are coming from the AI experts. They're finding that even they themselves who are creating it are surprised at some of the output and some of the outcomes of what they're working on. So that's it can be a little concerning.
Well, the sum is definitely greater than the parts, and we're already experiencing that as far as is what's going on out there. And you see it commercially now in these personal assistants and house assistants and things. Google has one, Amazon has one. I think there's a few others out there as well. But the thing of it is you are getting to a point where you actually have a system that is conversational. You don't have to memorize a set of commands anymore. You just talk and it responds. It is interesting to see where that is. And some of the ability to respond, Preston, like you say, is more than the programmers had ever expected. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. Another topic on its own, but it was interesting to see an implementation of it here at the con. So, all right, well, we will be back in a little bit here. Again, userfriendlyshow.com, one user friendly on Facebook, one user friendly on Twitter. Welcome back. This is User Friendly, live special this week from Steve Wozniak's Silicon Valley Comic Con. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the other things. And I'm just one of the topics here on my list. It's kind of funny. They give me a list of just things to think about as we're putting together the show. And one of them is something called the Acura Ball of Death. Does anybody care to weigh in on that?
Yeah, sure. I'll do that. It was fun, actually. It was a motion simulator ride, basically. But it was a black ball. It had blue lights on the outside. And it was a pretty mobile little ball. I mean, I felt like I was going to fall out of it once or twice on that ride.
So this was like a simulator.
It was a little simulator ride. Yeah, you got in on the lower bottom corner, and you sit in the chair. They strap you in. You put your thumbs on these little sensors on the chair. It's like you're holding on for dear life. And they had a sensor on your head. I'm not sure exactly sure what it was measuring. Probably it was brain waves or something. I don't know. Skin temperature, who knows, but it was supposed to help control the ride, and there were little segments, so you'd like ride through a thing, it would go white, and then another segment would start, and it felt to me like a series of 3D roller coasters, and it was pretty cool. I mean, I had a really good time on those simulators. It was neat.
So how I long could was... actually hear you laughing.
Well, I'm not surprised.
That was interesting. How long were you actually in the ride?
I think the rides were 4 minutes or less.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't like forever, and it was just like the line moved pretty quick, but you got in there and it was like, wee and yay, and oh, it's done. You know,
we talk about tech all the time, and it's interesting the idea that they would be measuring your responses through something that picked up on brainwaves
or something. Yeah, I don't know what they were measuring, unfortunately. But it was pretty cool.
Now that is actually really something.
Were they selling your brainwaves online?
Ooh, I don't know. they might not like mine.
Now, that would be very interesting. You know, we could market that up as an app. There was an old sci-fi film, I don't remember the name of it, where the humans got capped and afterwards changed quite a bit. Maybe this is the start of that. Okay, maybe not. Maybe I'm out of my...
is that outer limits, Bill?
No, anyway, but... No, but it sounds like it was really interesting, and it more than just the operating responses kind of in the way you would to actually have those kind of sensors.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, the only time I've ever heard of really monitoring brainwaves is like in the context of a sleep study, and anyone that does that knows that it's a million wires that they have to paste down and all this. So it sounds like it was something a lot easier to work with than that.
Well, they had a display, a monitor that would show like the person. And it would say calm or serene.
Mm-hmm.
Other ones said nervous. So
what did Jeremy say?
I didn't see it.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I was just enjoying the ride, so sure. I don't know.
I know that they're experimenting with using brainwaves to power prosthetics. They actually had a display at the Comic-Con. I didn't get to see it, but that's something that they're trying to do. Instead of, you know, using the nerves going down to your arm or something, they're just picking them up directly in the brainwaves and then using that as a trigger for the movement of prosthetics.
It's amazing the importance of science, really, when you think about it, to quality of life. Something like that, you may be able to treat people that are paralyzed or have other disabilities and really be able to affect change.
Or lost a limb.
Yeah. That's amazing. Amazing technology. So, yeah, cool. Well, and it's interesting, again, just to see where this is going in consumer electronics and just things you see out there, that type of a thing. And I understand there was quite an outside area, and I understand that because I was able to walk through it along with everybody else. And, Jeremy, do you want to talk a little bit about the San Jose Library?
It was the San Jose Library. They were down there. Apparently, they have a mobile bus. Well, it's cool. Buses are mobile, duh. But the bus would drives around. Thank you. I'm here all week. The bus drives around to like different parks and things. And they have a 3D printer inside and a laser cutter.
CNC.
And a very small CNC machine. And they, you know, do stuff. Show the kids how to use the modeling software. Show them how the stuff prints. And it's a mobile platform that we don't have that. You know, it's just like it goes to different places. So if your kid is in an area and the bus shows up, you can go hang out there, learn something, make something. And interact with the library. Like, they want people to learn. It is really cool.
Now, it's actually kind of these interactive type things. Now, 3D printers, we've started to see that to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the laser cutter.
Does. It's a laser cutter. Yeah, basically, the one they had worked on thin material. So, like, cardboard or, like, thin veneers of, like, the balsa wood that you can get at the hobby store. So they put that in the machine and using like Illustrator or like a other type of software would draw something. And inside the Comic-Con, they had one downstairs that was cutting out puzzle pieces.
Okay.
So they would show the kids they would cut a puzzle piece. Then you'd pop it out and you could hold the thing. It's like, you know, it took a few minutes to cut it, but it would one setting edges on the surface. So you can draw something and the other setting cuts through the cardboard.
Wow.
I know that, a couple of the ladies said that, you could use a CAD program
mm-hmm.
or something as simple as a, was it Publisher?
Yeah, she had set up two designs, one in Publisher and one in Word for just that display.
Yeah, and then the other lady was saying it was a CAD. So those mm-hmm. are two very opposite of the end spectrum softwares.
Right. Yeah, but it's pretty cool.
Okay, so we had the laser cutter, we had the 3D printer, and the CAD, or CNC machine, I think you called it. Now, I've heard of those before, but they're usually a giant machine in a factory somewhere. And this fit on a bus?
So what does CNC stand for those of us who don't know?
Wow, you know what?
I have no idea.
I don't know either. It basically cuts, but I think it does compound items. So if you have a block of material, it can cut in, but it can also do a rounded.
So yeah, like usually edges, these are just programmed, usually with a CAD program,
yeah.
You know, and they cut out technical things, you know, like machine parts.
Well, CNC routers are used to cut out machine parts, and I know when we build server racks and all that kind of stuff, that's done on a CNC router, and it cuts it down to the micron. I mean, everything is perfect and accurate.
Yeah, because they got to get the tolerances right.
So. No, but we'll find out what CNC is. Somebody should know that. I'm sure somebody does.
Somebody will text us.
There's probably somebody out there going, I know what it means.
So good. Let us know. One user friendly on social media. So
perfect. Yeah, but they had the machine they had. They showed little examples of everything they could do. And the CNC machine, she had a flat sheet of plastic that she had cut a wrench out of.
Okay.
So it basically just, you know, followed a pattern for the outside edges. But cut through the material, and it was a little plastic wrench she was showing. So, I mean, the idea that you can take this thing someplace and make little things for kids to learn, that's just really amazing to me.
I really like the fact that they had the outdoor aspect. And
yeah.
From what I understood, I think that was free to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these were actually, of course, set up in the outdoor aspects, Jeremy's mobile bus wouldn't have fit too well inside the building, I guess.
No, I guess not.
But thank you. I know there were a lot of big names out there. Sony had a for their PS4 platform, had a giant thing set up. And Rourke, I know there was a performer that you're aware of.
Yeah. I happen to see – first off, they were doing a lot of the cosplay stuff and whatnot outside as well. But the fact that I saw Dereal World Sound – Dereal World Sound. This guy is amazing. He was doing nerdcore, like kind of rap and stuff.
Right,
like.
Right.
And so what is nerdcore?
Nerdcore. From what I can assume, I figured that's probably the name of it. I hope I'm not wrong. He'll kill me if that's the case, because I know he'll probably be listening.
Nerdcore is a genre where instead of rapping about gangsters or something like that, you rap about nerdy stuff. Anime, science labs, whatever you want. So it's very geeky, kind of.
Okay, then good. I did say it right.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I was just clarifying.
Oh, I see.
Who's listening.
Well, he was really cool. He did an amazing set. I mean, to play Silicon Valley Comic Con must have been a big deal for him, because I mean, I know that he's very hard to get a hold of, and he does, especially around Silicon Valley. I know that he's very popular, and for them to get him was really cool. And so to hear that, him talking about, he's rapping about, like I said, the nerd stuff for nerdcore, but also tech and science and whatever else. And it all caters to the fans of science fiction as well. So, yeah, I think he's just really talented. That was just something I really wanted to mention.
Well, that's really cool. It's something to certainly look up. I'm sure you could find some of his work online.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So. Oh, definitely. Yeah, look up Dereal World Sound, DA, Dull Real. Anyway, we could post
the Dull Real. We'll post that online and get the correct spelling in there. It's a metalhead myself, I don't know, but we'll find out for you. So... No, it was great. It was the variety of different things was absolutely incredible. And I know one of the other areas that was down there too had to do with video games. And
oh yes.
Now, Warky, I considering what's sitting behind me, I know that you're into Dance Dance Resolution. How about Revolution?
We resolve things by dancing.
Yes, I resolve everything by dancing. I've got but
I would play Dance Dance Resolution. Yeah, like, what are your hostage negotiating?
Then we just renamed your game. No.
Yes, I do enjoy the arcade, and there was an arcade at the Comic-Con, which was really cool to see. They brought in actual arcade machines for it, as well as they had a lot of retro gaming, like, you know, old NESs, Super Nintendos, and Sega Genesis, whatever.
Genesis. Genesis. That sounds horrible somehow.
It's a little too close to a genocide.
Yeah, yeah, that's a little, oops. The point being, they had a lot of that, and they also had board games, tabletop gaming as well, and it was very varied, which is really cool. But one of the things I noticed in one of the arcade machines they had set up, they had a customized cabinet, and on the cabinet they had the independent indie games that people had made from the San Jose game developers over here. And so you were able to test it and play it for a little bit, which was really cool.
You know, that's really interesting. It's interesting to know that there are still people doing we would have called it homebrew software.
Yes.
But that actually runs on a stand-up machine, and you know, like you would have in an arcade.
Right.
And it was interesting to see some of the stuff that they had actually out there. It's fully playable, just like anything else have, and in some cases, very, very unique.
People were very excited about it. You could tell from the excitement in the air that this is something that I think needs to be explored more, that people, they don't give a lot of credence to the indie developers or the independent games until you've really made it with AAA and all that, but people really enjoyed them, and they want that, and I think that's really wonderful that it was such a big hit.
So... one of the guests we're going to be having in a couple of weeks that will talk about this operates the show Heavy Metal Jesus out of Seattle, that does a lot of analysis of homebrew and video game software. The title of the show is interesting, but he's going to be on. He actually found a Nintendo disk drive at a garage sale in Seattle. He's going to talk to us a little bit about that. And something that was released in Japan and was going to be released here, but never made it to the market and somehow ended up at a garage sale. So we'll get going, working. Hopefully you can come back on and we'll talk a lot more about developers and that type of software. So
yeah, that would be fun.
All right. Well, this is User Friendly. We'll be back after the break. Thank you. is user-friendly. One user-friendly on social media, Facebook, Twitter. Check us out, userfriendlyshow.com. And somebody that did just get back to us from our previous segment, CNC stands for Computer Numerical Control. Wow, aren't we all just impressed with that? Actually, thank you for sending that in. So next week on the show, we're going to have some interesting things coming up. One of them is going to be a review of the Samsung S8, Galaxy 8 smartphone, Galaxy. S8, there we go. You know, when you're looking at your marketing material and it says all the good things about your device and one of them is no fires, that's probably a real weird thing. And considering the hard year that Samsung had with their phones and washing machines last year, it looks like they are actually pulling themselves out. This device, what we saw in the preliminary, was absolutely incredible. We talked about it a few weeks ago. We're going to have a guest on the show that's actually used it for a little while now, and that will talk about what their experiences have been, and so far they have not been burned. So hopefully that will hold through to when they get here next time. We're also going to be talking about some different aspects of technology. We're going to be going into a lot more depth into Amazon Web Services and hosting clients like that. Different things that you can do. It is now possible to spin up your server in 5 minutes instead of 5 hours. I know that's something that's made my life a lot easier. We're going to look at the technology that's behind that and all of the different things you can do. And we're going to have a guest on that's actually going to be one of the people that helped put together that data center and talk to us about exactly what different things like cloud balancing, load balancing, elastic storage, and all of these kind of different terms. Route 52, not a freeway. It's actually something different. We're going to find out what it is. So join me next week on User Friendly. Check out our Season 1 podcasts, which are now online under the podcast section of the website, userfriendlyshow.com. See where this all began. And please send us your feedback. We enjoy every question and may even get to put you on the show. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.